This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances.
Hello, welcome to We Are Overcome, the podcast. We are here today to talk about mental health stuff, things, and how each other feels and how we feel ourselves. Matt is going to provide current relief throughout by hopefully falling off his ridiculous ice cream raft at some point this afternoon. If you don't, I'll be devastated, Matt. It's
Are people going to be able to see this? Are we putting videos up and stuff?
Yeah, we've got to for this.
We could put an extraction of it up, couldn't we?
Yes, or at the very least, just a picture of Matt. Mm. For those who can't see, Matt is currently straddling an ice cream floatable device in the middle of a gigantic pool under a gazebo in his back garden. It's ridiculous and great, and I feel the most powerful surge of envy for that situation I've ever felt in my life.
Sounds a little windy where you are, Matt.
It's really nice, actually. Is it too much?
Cool breeze.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If you're completely blown out, we'll just have to delete all of your audio. And it'll just be mine. Just be me and Wes with you splashing around in the pool.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Anyway, this month we are catching up from our home bases, including obviously Matt's amazing home base, to talk about mental health stuff. In particular, we're going to talk about being in the moment and finding balance and what those things are. Because a few people have commented that we often come down to, well, how do I feel better about a certain situation? It's like just being right here, right now. So it's probably worthy of a little bit more discussion. But first, we should check in over Matt's windy audio and find out how we are doing. A little bit of a check-in, because it's important. Matt, on your ice cream cone, how are you?
I'm good. I've had a few days working outdoors. It is pretty windy now, actually. I've had a few days working outdoors, and just at that point, the wind gets even worse. They say God hasn't got a sense of humour. Well, they were wrong. it's been really busy working outdoors and lots of different types of events, some commercial, community, and I feel good because I've met loads and loads of people as ever. They're normally on the high street or in, you know, festival setup, so you get to, people are pretty relaxed in those times. Had a really nice story yesterday. We had quite a few events on, and there was a guy sat there watching one of the events in town that we had on, loads of bands on. I wasn't at that. And then towards the sort of middle of the day, this guy came over with a bag of 15 cold cans of pop and just give it to the staff I had on and said, it's been great today and you look really hot, have this on me. And they phoned me and told me, and it's just brilliant, isn't it? You know, it's just, that makes me feel much better, much more relaxed about things.
That's a lovely little action.
Yeah.
Sorry, how about you, Wes?
I'm okay. Funny we're talking about balance, finding balance in things and whatever else, because I've been thinking that for a bit about myself, needing to find the balance between work and external things and home life and family life and all of that. So quite relevant. I often fall into the pattern of doing too much, so which could probably prevent me from being in the here and now, actually. So probably quite relevant.
That sounds good. I am mostly enraged by the heat, or rather rendered apathetic by the heat. It's far too warm and I can't do anything, and it makes me initially grumpy, and then it just evens out all of my emotions into a kind of grey blur where I feel neither happy nor angry, just meh, why is any of this happening? Which I think is probably why the topic popped up, actually, because I suspect that being in the moment is also being sort of in the middle, having a kind of stability and not having anything hugely intense going on. Maybe anyway, I'll just talk about that. Matt, is it possible for you to turn off your microphone when you're not talking?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
just a thought. Not that the sound of the wind out in the sticks isn't lovely.
You could have too much of a good thing, can't you?
You can, yes. Too much wind is not always a good thing. Yeah, that's true. All right, then. Where shall we begin with this? Because it feels like something that, like another topic. It could sprawl quite happily.
I think we should probably talk about what we think of when we talk about being in the here and now and that kind of thing. You just made an interesting comment there. So you imagine it being this kind of balanced in between middle kind of state. And I was immediately like, what do you mean by that? So
well, I can explain if you wish.
Maybe that's a place to start. Yeah.
Well, I instinctively think of like being in a moment, this moment where you're almost in a bubble of the present, and the past and the future are not particularly on your mind, nor are the events and the emotions of the past and the future, which, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just watching Matt climb out of a pool. Very exciting. I guess I'm occasionally somewhat sort of emotionally fragile. So being in a place that doesn't involve thinking about the past and doesn't involve thinking about the future is very calming and soothing. Yeah, it's a fragile state because it's very easy for the past and future to intrude. But for me, that, in the moment, so it's a focused time when I'm doing something. I'm not necessarily feeling anything. It's almost a peaceful doing state for me.
That makes sense. And I know more of what you mean now. Yeah. So this idea of if I'm completely focused on this thing right here, I can't be influenced by thoughts related to the past or the future. Mm. And so maybe it's a bit of a grounding kind of thing. I know what you mean now. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes sense, even, you know, trivial things like, you know, I come up here to our library to just sit and read a book in the evening. And, you know, and that can be slightly challenging if I've got anything that's remotely distracting. But if I can just get myself to just stop and just read the book, even though that's a very trivial and small activity, it isn't necessarily as engrossing as, I don't know, being on stage or doing work, that still feels very centered and very pleasant and calm. I think it's the calmness that I like about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I really do get what you mean now. And I suppose when I think of being in the now, man, it's one of these expressions that's thrown around quite a lot. There are lots of other ones as well, like to do with positive thinking, or probably other examples too of these little snippets of wisdom pulled from different philosophies and kind of churned out through self-help kind of style stuff. Mm. But usually just kind of unhelpful in isolation or without kind of further explanation. I suppose when people talk about being in the now or focusing on the present moment, I guess that's the advice there, isn't it? That if you can do something that's quite grounding and focused, it stops your mind wandering elsewhere and can be calming and grounding and all that stuff, which makes absolute sense. I also suppose I thought of another way of thinking about the here and now would be that if we can clear the clutter and kind of direct the focus, that you'd be able to fully appreciate a present moment. Mm. And that might not necessarily be this kind of balanced grey kind of middle ground, you know. I suppose when you're doing a show, for example, you're completely in it, so you're not thinking about anything else. But I guess
overexcited.
You could experience lots of highs and all sorts of things in that present moment, couldn't you?
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. Yeah. Yes, a general state of excitement and
focus. But you fully feel it because you're fully in it. So
that's my worst thing on stage, you know. Just getting pulled away. Yeah, hopefully that sounds a bit better.
It does, actually. It does, yeah.
But that's the worst thing. I hate it, and I'm really trying to really push it and push it so that I hate it when I'm on stage and I'm doing something. I'm not in the moment of that song or that piece. I'm thinking about something else completely. And it must come across to people, you know, when it happens. And the times I think I enjoy it the most is when I can just focus on the song and the actual piece rather than, you know, things that happened yesterday or things happened tomorrow or whatever else.
See, that I find fascinating because your show to me is the opposite of being centered and in the moment, because almost all of your show is about looking backwards. And there's a good chunk about looking forwards too, but almost all of your stuff in that is stories from your past about mental health, songs about mental health, which are all massively contingent on activities and events that are outside of that. I'm very curious how you can get to be in the moment while discussing stuff that explicitly refers to outside of that moment.
Because for me, it's getting myself in the. This is going to start sounding pretentious, isn't it?
But anyway, no, go for it.
Go for that. So for the song, for instance, the inflection of the words and everything else of what it means, and I try to get myself into the point of when I wrote the song, what it was about, and you know, as though I'm reciting the words, you know, like just a speech to somebody, or do you know, as though it's the first part of the conversation. And then he got hit by the place, although that was quite cool, although fairly safe. But it just happened then. I want to, if I'm telling a story, I try to get myself in the moment of when the story happened and about and reliving it, rather than just, you know, it just be coming out of this spiel and I'm thinking about something else.
But it's version of them though, isn't it? Because you're experiencing it now still. So even if you're kind of going back and drawing upon an experience to convey it now and what you're doing, it's a now version of that moment, really.
Yeah, I think Nick said something about that the week, didn't you, Nick? About not remembering things as they were, you're remembering them as though the last time you remembered them, and then the same like that. And exactly. I get that completely. Yeah. I think you're right. Whereas when I do it on stage, it's like, I guess that's part of the reason why it still makes me cry at points, you know, even though I've written it and changed it and rehearsed it and played it and whatever else, it still gets me at points. And it annoys me in some ways, but then I think, well, maybe I shouldn't be annoyed by it. Maybe that's quite a good thing, isn't it?
Alas, that is sort of the point of your show. You've very much done that to yourself, Matt.
Thank you.
There's a book called The Present Moment, by a guy called Daniel Stern. Now it is kind of through a psychotherapy lens, but in it he spends a portion of time talking about what the present moment actually is, and we're constantly passing through a present moment, aren't we? Like now and now and now and now. So it's quite, it's a bit of a headbender, really, when you read parts of it, because you're like, oh, it really takes a bit of time to break down what the present moment actually is and isn't and all that kind of stuff. And in that, he kind of talks about that, I'm sure he does, unless I'm mixing it with something else, but about kind of that even remembering something from before is a now version of that thing from before and stuff. It's quite fascinating, really. I find myself speaking with clients a lot about this kind of concept of now. And back to this thing of like recycled self-help pearls of wisdom that people kind of try to adopt and then fail with, because it would be impossible to be living in the now all of the time, wouldn't it? Actually, it's more that when we're taken away from the present moment and it's unhelpful, I think is the better way to think about it. Because actually, we need to be able to look forwards and backwards in our minds. We do it all the time.
Sure. Well, yeah. How would you ever go shopping for groceries?
Even for simple, trivial things like that. Or like, I am speaking to Nick and Matt at 1 o'clock. So actually, I'm going to have to do da 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 da. That involved me looking forward, you know, or remembering things or learning things revolves retaining things from the past and planning and preparing for things. Whatever. So we need to be able to look forwards and backwards in our minds whilst we're in the now. So that living completely in the now is a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit of, it's
I had it yesterday, you know, I was doing an event in the village and it's really good, really successful. And it wasn't just me, there was lots of people involved in it. And this guy off the committee came over and said, it's great. Are you enjoying it? And now I sort of caught me off guard with a you know, a bit of complete honesty rather than trying to be guarded. And I said, oh, no, not really. I'm thinking about what I need to do next.
Yeah.
What we could do better next year.
That's the other side of it, isn't it? Is this kind of, so we need to accept that we look forwards and backwards for helpful and unhelpful reasons. I suppose the other side of it is that sometimes this looking forwards and backwards stuff gets in the way of satisfaction and kind of fully experiencing the present kind of thing, you know. So yeah. you couldn't enjoy that event because you were thinking about what next.
But to be fair to him, I should have just forgotten about everything else. I had a conversation with him, looked around and gone, it's brilliant, isn't it? This is ace. Yeah.
Well,
that's a fascinating tension, though, isn't it? That almost suggests that, you know, being in the moment is kind of a non-critical state, where you're not in the midst of self-criticism.
That present moment could be good, bad, shy, and everything in between, but you're fully experiencing it.
You're not judging yourself for it. You know, I like that. Yeah, it's the concept of flow in work, which is one of my favorite things, and I find fairly easy to get into, where you're just working. You might be changing and undoing and redoing stuff, but it all feels not perfect and not right, but it feels sort of inevitable and fits together in a way that feels safe from someone else coming and looking at you and going, well, that's wanking it. Obviously that person doing that is usually ourselves, when our critical inner voice pops up to chime in helpfully and ruin our day. And I don't know, I think being in the moment is a freedom from that, and a freedom from trying to keep hold of that, being in the moment sense, is trying to keep away that critical voice. Because there's always that point in doing a piece of work where you reach sort of the end of it, and then you're like, oh God, someone else is going to see this. And then you have to think properly about whether or not, then you apply your critical faculties and like, is this a good thing? Is this
from
the time?
From a creative standpoint, being in the moment and blocking all of that out allows you to just create and whatever else. And then you bring in the editor later, I suppose, don't you?
Yeah.
There's loads of ways in which we could think about this. You know, there's being in the present moment now as a bit of a focused kind of grounding, mindful kind of thing. There's being in the moment now as a way to kind of fully experience and feel satisfaction or whatever from this thing. There's the creativity angle. But I think the balance part of it probably is like that we have to accept that we're not always in the current moment. And maybe it's just the amount at which we are and aren't, and that's going to be different for different people, you know.
Maybe, although I wonder if balance too is sort of the opposite of what I'm seeking in being in the moment, which is avoiding all avoiding the past and future and positive, and some of the present, just to get on with doing a thing. And I suspect balance is allowing past and future to enter that conversation without ruining your moment. Because it feels like a huge paraphrasing of loads of sort of Buddhist ideals and stuff, doesn't it? About that sort of peculiar nihilism where you let the past and the future flow through you, and you don't, ideally you don't feel anything for them. They're just things that happened and things that will happen. And I don't know, that feels very odd, but I quite like that as an idea of balance. You know, which parts of your past and future can you live with and hold in your head while still being content and focused on what you're doing? And there are other things that will throw you out so completely that you can't retain any sense of balance. But some kind of ideal would be coming to terms, I guess, with everything that's happened to you, such that you can be running, going for a nice jog, and then something awful pops back into your head from your past, and you're like, oh, okay, I don't even break stride anymore, I can keep going. Maybe that's a sense of balance, whether it's a plausible one or not, I'm not sure.
Again, I talk with clients about these helpful and unhelpful ways that we can look forwards and backwards and stuff. So like the helpful ways, we're talking about kind of planning, preparing, remembering, learning, all of that. But sometimes a helpful way to look backwards is to kind of resolve unfinished business or make sense of the past and whatever else. But that's different from rumination, for example, because that's just going sitting back in it and just sitting in suffering, shame, pain with no kind of end point, you know. Just as you could look forwards and kind of catastrophize and what if to death, well, that's probably not helpful, is it?
Do you not find a lot of the stuff about the past, to me, when I think about it, it's almost like it's a completely different person. It's like, look,
yeah,
not me
from the now lens, aren't you?
Yeah, but yeah. It never feels like, it never bothers me in a lot of situations. It doesn't bother me because it doesn't actually feel like me, you know, like whether that's because me has changed completely and I am now, so the person previously was, you know, a different version, or whether it's just that disassociation from it, or I don't know, but it never really massively feels like me at all.
That's interesting. I've talked before about, you know, my belief that we're not the same person physically or psychologically as we were, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So, and by that, I think that's also a very good way of rationalizing bad stuff. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't happen to me.
It's all cool. I don't need to worry about that.
Which I suppose it could be either, couldn't it?
I think honestly, it's also a bit of a cheat.
I don't think it works for the police either, does it?
You know, police aren't fans of that. And it's disappointing. It does feel sad that they're not quite so up on psychology biology. But yeah, I think there's something in that. And I wonder if that is a dissociative thing rather than truly having found balance. But maybe it's just a shortcut. And I'm not convinced that psychological shortcuts are any less significant than, you know, deep breakthroughs. If you can not be bothered by something, cool.
I think there's something to be said, though, for just how we were saying there, that, you know, even when you're thinking about a past experience and your performances, Matt, it's like it's still technically a now version of it. I think there's something to be said for if I get to a certain point in my life that I can actually go back and look at something, now me can go back and look and make sense of it, something painful, something horrible, whatever. You know, maybe the now me is more equipped to be able to go back and do that. Maybe the now me looks back at that thing differently and sees it a little differently and whatever else. But yeah, I suppose I just keep coming back to that thing. You can't ever be fully in the now and in the here and now and cut everything off, because I don't know. Well, you probably could if you were like some Buddhist Zen master.
But maybe being in that place is a reminder that I guess maybe because it takes out a lot of negative and positive feelings, it also enables a degree of empathy that might equip us better to deal with our past and future situations. Yeah, if you're in that quite calm state, and sometimes, you know, something, a bad memory or whatever, pops back up, you can be in a better place to regard it having reached that point of balance. If you never have that sense of being in the moment and being somewhat balanced in your present life, that must be even harder to deal with anything else that's going, because otherwise you're constantly in a state of flux. It feels like this point of being in the moment, or, you know, centered to a certain extent, should come up at least every now and again for people. You know, so you drift from being deeply immersed in your past and praying for the future to a nice, quiet, still moment in which you are free to, well, not so much free, but more capable of making decisions about the past and the future, and then dragged back into it. Like, if you're lost in the past all the time, then you're broken and you can't do anything. If you're lost worrying about the future all the time, then you're simply broken and can't do anything. I guess you should really have a balance of both the past, the future, and the present. And I think it's when people aren't really in the present, they're just railing and raging and stumbling around, that you can't really function. Maybe
we're getting a bit theoretical about it all. So yes. maybe for this last bit of the conversation, maybe we should think about how some of this topic applies to us and what we make of it personally and practically in life at the moment. So for me, for example, I opened by talking about work-life balance and everything else. And I think the more I have going on, that probably takes away from all of my now moments, actually, because I'm preoccupied with head clutter, for example. So I know that that's something for myself that I need to kind of think about. And I suppose the other thing that I've probably come into contact with time and time again is that in my work and kind of personal reflections as well, that it's, for me, it feels quite necessary to be able to kind of revisit things and make sense of them now, because it's part of resolving things and putting them down and letting go of baggage, or kind of increasing self-awareness and stuff like that. So this topic, those are the two things that feel live for me, is kind of this work-life balance and enjoying the moment fully, and the need for balance there, I suppose, and the stuff I was talking about that I end up discussing in work quite a lot, this idea that we've got to be able to do all of it, but maybe in a balanced, kind of aware way.
I think the only time I'm ever really in a moment without any interruption is when I'm writing sometimes.
that's the only time when I just get, and I think one of you said it before about correcting yourselves or whatever, but I just write and not worry about, you know, I don't really worry about punctuation or grammar normally anyway, but you know, whether it rhymes or whether it makes any complete sense or whether it's the right word, I always try and just write free flowing.
And that's helpful.
It's the only time that I think I really just, nothing that ever gets in the way of it.
Maybe it's just almost meditative or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny about the work-life balance thing as well. I never really think about it, and I don't know if that makes me selfish or I suppose I don't really think of work in the same way as, I suppose it depends how you feel about work, doesn't it? For me, work is my personal life. Do you know what I mean? It feels
it's all kind of blended together or something.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe
the balance is
have a different view.
Maybe the balance is good then, Aaron. Maybe the balance is right for you.
Yeah, you've overwhelmed balance and made it yourself.
Yeah, take control of it.
Interesting. I think you're definitely right about the work-life thing. Yeah, if there's too much going on, you don't have time to reflect reflect personally, which is just you reflecting you, not being worried about the rest of the hall of mirrors that are around you, which is the rest of life. Yeah. I want to see me being me, doing a me thing, which probably isn't all the other things that I'm doing. I like that. It makes you think more of stuff that we were talking about a few months ago when I was reading stuff from my counselling journal entries and stuff. Because all that is stuff is the unpleasant memories and stuff that I don't want to have in my day-to-day life. I would rather be in a bubble of now that contains none of that stuff and doesn't look back at all. Because there's nothing very good to look back there.
You did say at the time that you felt like it was a different person and that you were having empathy for that person rather than being you.
And that definitely helps. And what I say about being in balance is that's not so much about being in the moment, I guess, but I'm slowly finding balance with that, I guess, so that, you know, I can be doing my stuff and these thoughts and memories can pass through and they don't necessarily throw me off. In a way that they would have done 10, 15, 20 years ago. Might slow me down, but I don't feel obliged to linger on them.
I suppose the other thing I was... Oh, go ahead, Nick, sorry.
I was just saying, and that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the end of my sentence.
Sounds it. I suppose I was just thinking for you as well, you know, with the improv stuff that you do, like that is primarily about trying to just be... now, isn't it?
And just good training up
right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good for that. It's good for a degree of empathy, I guess, because what you want ideally is to not just be in the now where you're like, I'm doing mental stuff. You want to be doing mental stuff where you're paying close attention to what other people on stage are doing as well, and doing stuff that complements that and is recognizes the characters and the people in those scenes and works with them rather than working against them. That's why I think it should be an empathic state.
Yeah, being present and kind of connected to the people around you now. It's funny because talking about now, I'm going to reflect something from my now experience. I was just aware a few moments ago of being in this conversation with you guys, but then also thinking, oh, this might be a good point to mention, suddenly taken away from now. So there's something about how we can be present, you know, with the people around us, in conversations, in connected moments with people and everything else. I think there's something in that as well, that we can be taken out of the now and the connection with the people around us now. The question for us, isn't it? How present are we in conversations? How present are we with the people around us? What gets in the way of that? What it really is to truly listen and connect with someone. Maybe I'm not fully listening and fully connecting if I'm thinking about what next, or if I'm taken away from this experience because something you said reminds me of something or whatever.
Yeah, making space to feel like this. I know that for doing this, if we're recording it, I need to not look away from the laptop screen.
Because you're being taken away.
There's just stuff. There's a window right there. There are things here, and they will distract and make you think of other stuff.
Yeah.
So I can never just listen. Like, so if I'm listening to you,
not only am I listening to you, I'm interested in what you're saying, but I'm also, it's also sparks loads of other thoughts in my head about, you know, about, well, different avenues of conversation as well.
So how could it not? How could it not? Yeah. And I think that's the balance thing. It's like, how do I balance? What do I hold back? When do I switch that off and come back to what you're saying? What do I bring in and choose not to bring in? And I have, you know, professionally speaking, I probably have to think about that quite a lot when I'm with clients, breathing stuff off and pulling myself back to the present moment, everything else. But even just at a very simple level, if we're thinking about what we're going to say next, we're not really listening, are we?
You have to kind of stack it up in the background.
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing that, like, how, you know, maybe that's something for us to reflect on and people at home to reflect on. How often am I very, you know, am I really present in the moment with the people around me or the thing that I'm doing and whatever else? And maybe we, you know, do we want to readdress the balance of that?
I think it depends what kind of conversation it is as well. I mean, I know for me, and I'm trying to stop myself from doing it, if I'm having an argument with someone, I am not listening to what they're saying. You know, I'm trying to figure out how I could be an even bigger smart ass for the next line that I'm going to come out with. You know, not what they've said and whether it's only afterwards, I think. Do you know what? They had a point.
Maybe they were right the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
And with that, I suspect we're out of time. Don't get into an argument with Matt. He won't listen to you.
Yes.
Different Matt.
Sure. shall we sign off here then? Lovely chat with you guys. Then. We'll see you all in Edinburgh in a month's time. Really? Yep, we'll be up at the Fringe with Matt's live show that's up there for the entirety of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I'll bring the pool with me as well, shall I?
Please do. All right. And once you do bring that wonderful inflatable pool with you, Matt, we will see you for your entire live show, We Are What We Overcome, at The Space at Symposium Hall from the 5th of August right the way through to the 27th of August. Time shifts a little bit throughout the month, but begins at 1:10. And beautifully, it's described here as one man's journey to sanity by a very bad idea, fleeing suicidal thoughts and the obvious psychiatrist. And the rest of it disappeared from me. In 2018, Matt booked himself into the single greatest arts festival on the planet. It's not recommended by NICE. A musician with no theatrical experience found himself performing nightly with no preparation and no idea what he was doing. Weaving tales of how he got to and came back from the brink of suicide, this is the path taken from breakdown to talking publicly. The show moves between a mix of heartfelt stories, self-deprecating humour and original songs. It's really good. It's very good. I'm going to go and see the preview in a week's time. And you should all come to see it, especially if you're in Edinburgh. If you're not in Edinburgh, that will be harder. And we hope to be up there recording a live podcast interview in the same place during that time. So we will see you all very soon.
Yeah, we've lost Matt. He's blown away on his dinger. So I guess we'll just finally check out and say see you later, everybody, and catch you next time.
Yep. Take care, all. Bye.
If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. And this poor little boy, grounded by the sun, by his side, but something strong.